Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the top of the hour, 7:03. Thank you for hanging out with us on a just dreary. The whole week's been dreary outside, man. I hate to always get on here and like talk about the weather, but golly, the storm that hit last night as we were on our way home from the United game was insane. Looked like something you'd see in like Tornado Alley. Like, it was nuts. Got a picture of it. I'll probably post it on the socials
here in
a little bit.
I was checking the weather this morning because it was clear when we came in, just kind of dreary, but then it's like, it's going to be pouring at 9 a.m. I was like, well, that's not great for the commuters.
All week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to the commuters out there. Hopefully, got a just a piping hot cup of coffee right now.
Drive slow.
You know what I mean?
It's okay.
You're going to be a wet MGA tonight.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much.
That doesn't sound great.
Yeah, it means cart path only, I'm sure. Yeah. It's just. Like, we don't get a lot. I don't get a lot of golf these days, so I got to need my Thursday night 9 holes.
Right. Yeah. You know, you get dry racing on Tuesday and your Thursday night, and then your concerts, whenever else you can fit them in.
Well, that's, by the way, I got to miss.
Ding.
We got to move Tuesday iRacing League.
Yeah.
Because I got Metallica.
Metallica.
I got to check on those tickets. I haven't, you know, I'm supposed to receive them sometime this week.
Yeah, I thought you knew a guy.
I do know a guy, and my guy said I would get him the week before, and and so I get nervous. I guess I'm like, hey, it's the week before.
Allie Bo brought. I wanted to watch Lionel Messi play last year.
I didn't bring him. He threw me.
I was like, man, I wonder if Mike Conti can get me tickets.
Right.
I mean, who else would you ask? Right.
Right.
Other than Mike Conti, and Bo was like, you're not gonna ask me. I was like, he's kind of the guy.
That's actually not what I said.
He's like, I know people.
I said, well, I know people in the same organization, you know. And he's like, yeah, but Mike Conte.
I mean, it was funny.
I don't know anybody.
I definitely came out looking dumb in this equation because within 30 seconds, old Mr. Tim was on Bo.
Yeah.
Bo's like, yeah, it turns out I got you 2 suite tickets right now. I was like,
oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, but I saw it could go both ways. Like, if you had asked him, like, why are you asking me? Just ask Mike.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Oh, thank you, Allie.
No, I was
she's,
no.
Look,
no.
Just over a month, and she already understands the dynamic here.
I think, okay? Allie, I think you know me enough to know that I don't mind. I like helping people.
You do.
And I don't mind, you know, pulling a couple of favors to help people. I never for myself unless, you know.
It's Metallica.
Look, it's Metallica.
Shout out to Tim. Still the greatest seats I've ever had at a sporting event.
Yeah.
For that Atlanta United game against Messi last year,
that's
which
awesome.
They won, which in insane fashion, much in the same way they did last night, right at the end of stoppage time.
Yeah, but in all reality, before Mike was done, you know, taking his foot out of his mouth, I was like, do you need a parking pass?
Yes, I do. My wife walked like that suite we set in for that. Like they had a photographer in there. We got like an email with pictures like 2 days later.
Whoa,
yeah, it was crazy. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
I know, like a sushi bar. I was like, yeah, where
got
are we
him,
at right
I
now?
I got him in.
Yeah,
the owner's suite.
It was the luxury of
I think
luxury.
They call it the Maybach.
Hey, Bo, I want to see you again.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just go straight to you.
Bo's like, let me start with Tim with the Metallica first, okay?
Yeah.
We'll build from there.
Yeah.
Speaking
yeah,
of which, look, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, Allie, I want to go to Dirk's Bentley next Thursday. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Who's
easy,
plugged in now? Who's plugged in now?
Easy now.
Anyways, look, man, it's been a fun show so far. We're going to get into the Jesse Bates cuts in this segment. Coming up at 7:20, we'll talk a little bit about the Atlanta United, their big win last night. That's back-to-back, building some. There's no momentum like momentum. We'll also talk about the SEC meetings going on. We got Trey Wallace coming up later in the show from Outkick.
Bubba's awesome cousin.
Dude. Yeah, Bubba's cousin. Awesome dudes from Mobile, Alabama. Trey has risen. He's a Tennessee fan like Bubba as well, by the way. Ding. So we'll talk to him later on in the show.
When Dylan texts us that he had Trey Wallace, I go, Bubba's cousin. He's like, no, I don't think so. Laugh out loud. And I go, no.
That's
like,
him.
I wrote back. I go, no, I'm pretty positive that's Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR driver's cousin. And Dylan was like, no, I mean, maybe, but I don't think so. And I'm like, no, Dylan, I'm telling you.
The funny thing is Trey used to do radio down in Mobile, which is where Bubba's from. And they're all, you know, from down there. And the first time I ever brought it, Trey was like, I see you're a NASCAR fan. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, I'm a Martin Truex fan at the time. And I'm like, who are you a fan of? He's like, Bubba. It's my cousin. I was like, no, it's not. I was like, I got a joke with him. And he's like, no, seriously. Yeah, it's my cousin. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that'd be fun to talk to him later on. He's down in Destin covering all things SEC. And look, we're going to get into that conversation about Brian Kelly's comments about playing the Big Ten every year. So I think that's pretty cool. For right now, though, and Jesse Bates was on the podium just a couple of days ago, we got to a little bit of the cuts yesterday, talking about Michael Penix, talking about Darnell Mooney, the expectations. We also got into a little bit about the absences, right? And I'm pretty sure we talked about Kirk Cousins, Ray McLeod, Caleb McGarry, Kyle Pitts, which we cleared up earlier. That was James Palmer's tweet yesterday about how it was a foot injury, and he was actually in the building, just not on the field.
That James Palmer goes, Some thought it might have been a contract situation.
Yeah. I love that too.
He sent it. Like, Mike sent it to us, and I go, "Who the thought it was a contract situation? Just, no one thought it was
just
that." James
reeked of an agent being like, "Hey, you know what I mean? You're like, it's not a contract situation. Like, what are we talking
about? Nobody was talking
about
that.
Nobody's talking about a contract situation.
Yeah, dog, that ain't it. We just want to make sure the guy's there working.
Yeah.
You know, like, we want to make sure you're working on his craft.
Well, I bring all that up because we talked about four offensive players yesterday, and Jesse Bates was also at the podium, and he brought up, look, it's still important for veterans to be here and go through these OTAs.
Because, I mean, we get this 10-week off-season period together where you want to kind of knock out all the, you know, your base, you know, fundamentals, your philosophies, everything, your culture. That's what this is about, gaining that trust and understanding what do we want to be for the next year, for this year coming up. So when we get to training camp, we can hit the ground running.
I think that what he's saying is of the utmost importance. And it's why we highlight the fact, or not highlight it, but it's why we always talk about when guys aren't there. And we can say this is a big deal or this is not a big deal, but Jesse Bates saying that as an all-pro safety and him talking to you about just hearing it, right, and being around younger guys. And obviously, Zach Robinson is in year number two, Jeff Ulbrich's in year number one, right? So when you kind of divide it that way, it's like, all right, well, you know, they heard Zach Robinson a year ago. If you miss one OTA, what's the big deal, whatever else. Jeff Ulbrich and Jesse Bates' relationship, I would argue, maybe even more important than Michael Penix and Zach Robinson at this point because of how you need this defense to step up to the plate and do things differently this year and make sure they are stopping the run and stopping these teams on third down.
What do you think, what to, as a guy that played offense, when you're a defensive guy kind of saying like the fundamentals and getting the basics, like what do you, like, because here's the thing, we hear the terms 3-4, 4-3, 3-4 with 4-3 tendencies, which none of that actually applies. That's no longer like the fundamentals or the basics of a defense. It's more of what's your position in a nickel? What's your, like, what, like, that's your base. Your base defense is nickel these days. So I guess my point is, my question is, what does he mean, though, now in today's game? What you're talking about, the fundamentals, is that, hey, what we want to, what would you see this look, or is it just base, kind of where you're at and what your job is?
Well, I think, let me break that down into two different questions. First of all, for Jesse Bates, I think a lot of fundamentals for him at this point in his career is how you communicate and when you communicate. You know what I mean? Like, do you audible the coverage or the secondary once the motion passes behind the quarterback? Do you do that once he passes the tight end? Like, when are you making changes to what they're doing in terms of, like, okay, the offense is motioning. I need to talk to Mike Hughes. I need to talk to Jordan Fuller, whoever else, maybe Xavier Watts. I need to make sure all the communication's on the same page. That's what I feel like when I think of the secondary and fundamentals. That's the first thing that pops in my mind. Now, of course, they're back, you know, back pedal, stick the foot in the ground, open the hips this way, you know, form tackling, this, that, and the other. But in OTAs, you're not doing a lot of that stuff. And for Jesse Bates, some of the physical fundamentals are just second nature at this point. For your question about the 3-4 front and the 4-3 and the nickel and everything else going on with that, I do think that there is, and you mentioned it, and Jeff Ulbrich had said this a number of times, you have to be multiple this day and age in the NFL.
There's no such thing as a 4-3 or a 3-4 anymore.
There is, but the problem is you're doing it with all the same people, right? The spacing just changes, right? You're just using the outside linebacker and Leonard Floyd as a defensive end.
Well,
right? You're just simply spacing them out differently.
Yeah, there's no, we're strictly this team.
Yeah, and to your point, the nickel, it's a 4-2 nickel. It's the 4-3 and the 3-4. It's like, okay. I mean, there was times last year where the Falcons go 5-1. You know, you use different personnel. There's 3-3 personnel. You do different things to get into certain situations. But to answer your question about the fundamentals of that, like, when am I two-gapping? Like, if I'm Zach Harrison, per se, when am I two-gapping a tight end? When am I reading the outside shoulder of the tackle? What is the formation recognition? And what is my job on this play? Is my job to rip into the backfield and wreak havoc and make sure that the running back is being forced to cut back? Or is my job to two-gap this tight end or this offensive tackle and play the B and C gaps at the same time?
And
what does the defense call for in this given situation?
And it probably changes just like when the receiver goes in motion and stuff, like when Jesse calls it, it probably changes for a Zach Harrison when the running back empties out of the backfield or something.
Exactly.
Right? Like then that might change what his read is or what his job is, I should say, on that play.
Right. And I'll go even a step further, and I just talked about, all right, when is Jesse Bates calling different coverages? When is he calling different defenses on the back end based on the motion? And there are just certain points where things are different. Like I said, if you motion a guy on that end around motion, or the orbit motion we used to call it, where the wide receiver comes in motion and he goes behind the quarterback, right? A lot of times you have to wait till he gets on the other side of the quarterback till you change things. Well, what's been in vogue the last 2 years, and I think Mike McDaniel's been one of the first ones to do this whip motion, where all of a sudden the wide receiver comes in and he just runs a circle around the quarterback and goes back the same way. Why do you think that motion is a thing? It's a thing because they know that the safety is looking at it going, as soon as he gets behind the quarterback, we're going to shift all the coverage this way and all the defense is going to react. Well, guess what? What are you going to do when he just goes back the other direction, right? And then you also use the Tyreek Hill to where he's, you know, starting in the slot and he's motioning out and getting a, you know, a running head start, and all of a sudden he's the outside wide receiver running a go route. Like, there's just certain simple things that you look at and you can break down on film at this point if you're Jesse Bates. And it might have been a point where, hey, this motion is new to us this week, you know, going into a game plan. But Jesse Bates can now look at it, and as it sits, that was, you know, what, Tuesday the 27th of May? And you can go ahead and knock that out, right? So that no matter what happens down the road, when you get into playing Miami this year, as you have on the schedule, and Tua is healthy and Tyreek Hill is healthy, that you don't have to have that conversation. You can go back to May and be like, all right, remember – we looked at the orbit motion. We looked at the whip motion. We looked at the speed motions. We know how to deal with all that. Now what are they doing now?
Yeah.
Right? You basically have laid a base layer for what your defense is going to be. That's exactly what he's talking about OTAs is for.
Yeah, and then so then now when you play them this year – sorry, my NASCAR fantasy alarm's going off. Apologize. But now when you see – you're going to basically – you've already got that, and so you're going to find the new stuff. You can – you know their tendencies and what their traditions are, and now it's just the few new things they're doing.
It's layered.
And it makes it just that and then that's where watching film. That's why when you talk about guys like Jesse Bates, he's always in there watching film. The first thing Jesse Bates does when he gets on a bus after a game is iPad. Watch film on his iPad or tablet, Microsoft whatever it's called, tablet, and gets on there and watches what happened. And he's so by the time he gets home that night or to the office Monday morning, he's like, I'm on to Miami or I'm on to whoever the next week is. Yeah. And that's the thing that is so underrated. And the fan doesn't even, you know, you can get on these guys all you want, but some of these guys are literally over that game before they land the next day.
There's no doubt
before they land
it.
At night, I mean.
And Jesse Bates, you know, emotionally – might be ready to move on, but a lot of these guys aren't over it.
Well, I've seen – no, they're not over it, but they're not over it from the feeling of being of losing that game and how it stings, but they know what happened and where they went wrong. And I've seen Jesse teach other players that. That's the beauty of it. That's how good that dude is, how much he means for your team.
It's one of the reasons I get so frustrated not to go on a Twitter rant. Like, people come up with these ideas on Twitter, and I'm like, I promise you they've thought of that. You know what I mean? Like, I promise you this is not lost on them.
Right.
They understand the situation. Anyways, we got to go to break.
Why aren't you working out? Why are you doing it at a charity golf tournament? You should be fixing your football game.
We'll get into more Falcons conversation coming up later in the show at 8:20. For right now, we're going to go to break because when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about the Atlanta United, and then we're going to break into this conversation going on with the Destin coaches and ADs and everybody down there hanging out at Miramar Beach. So stick with us here on the morning shift. It's Sports Radio 929 The Game.
And cleared by Orlando. It was an off-balance header by Schlegel, but they got away with it. Still loose. Knocked down to Click. Click at the top of the arc. Coming forward. Passing ahead to Moranchuk. Pop to the penalty spot. Saba traps. Shot blocked. Rebound. Score! Potential stoppage time winner for Atlanta United.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was in the building for that. My son tapped out a little bit early. Tapped out a little bit before that. It's the Morning Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Squid Billy, and Dylon. Two of us were in the building for some of the game last night. I ran into Dylon on the way in. I was taking my son, and he tapped out at like the 45-minute mark, about halfway through. You know, we made it just to the other side of halftime.
Simone actually had to go to her girlfriend's book club, so we left around the 70th minute.
What time was the book club at?
No, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on, guys. Do they read to each other, the book club?
No, they discuss the book.
Hold on, dude. Why did you just make it sound way creepy? Like, I thought that was my job.
Did they read to each other?
On this show.
Because he knew where I was going. He looked at me. He's like, here it comes. Just, you know, we talked about Dylon and Simone reading to each other.
So,
well, it's Simone reading to Dylon. I mean,
No, we read to each other. I'll read a chapter. She reads a chapter. And we alternate chapters.
Yeah. That's an intense romance right there.
I don't know why. I don't know why it's so weird to you. I felt
it's crazy, man.
Yeah,
I did enjoy seeing Simone last night. I got a chance to give her an attaboy on her TikTok. She was like, "I heard Dylan put me on blast. Put my personal business out. My TikTok being stolen." I was like, "Yeah."
I was trying to brag on her. She was like, "Why are you telling my business?" I was like, "I was trying to brag on you."
Can I also say I snooped and she had a different account that she put in place of in case she didn't get her TikTok back. Already at 20,000 followers.
It's crazy.
Good for her.
She was like, she was like, "Why are all these people?" She was like, "I said bye to this account already. Why are all these people now following?"
Right.
Obviously, Atlanta United gets back in the win column last night. Big win over Orlando. Bartosz Schlisz scores in the 80, Glasso in the 83rd minute, and then Jamal Tiare, like you just heard from Mike Conte, the fifth minute of stoppage time. All hell broke loose in the second half. Like, I left. Atlanta and I was down 2-1. Orlando scores like the fourth minute. My son, for the first time ever, starts giving the thumbs down and booing. I was like, "How did you even learn that?"
Amazing.
He's just looking at people around him. He's like, "Boo." And I was like, what do you do? Like, he's four. I'm like, "How do you even know how to boo?"
How proud were you?
First time he's ever cheered or booed or whatever, been sad at a sporting event. And I was so proud of him. I was like, "Yeah, that a boy." He ended up getting in my lap and he's like, "Yeah, boo." I was like, "What is going on?"
I actually have a quick question, because last time I remember when United scored one, last time your son went to the game, he was a little freaked out by train horn, right?
The fireworks and stuff, the flames.
Yeah. How did he react this time?
He loved it.
Nice.
Yeah, he loved it. He did. He loved it this time around. He had so much fun, and then he tapped out. So,
I think we're going to start taking pork chop to hibachi, soon, just to
get ready for the United matches.
Just get ready for sporting events with fire.
I'm sure Amy is all over that trend where everyone's filming their babies in their first reaction to hibachi for the first time.
We have ours. Yeah, we have footage of Ridge and Stevie the first time they ever did hibachi.
So, I mean, yeah.
Scared the crap out of
them. Well, maybe I can do it at home I can do the train horn thing.
Second win in a row for Atlanta United. Now they start the stretch that we talked about yesterday where they're going to go six straight away matches, and they won't see them at Mercedes-Benz Stadium until almost the end of July.
Wow.
So that's frustrating to say the least, and hopefully they can continue this. I know the write-up in AJC yesterday was like, last time that you needed to get a win and you made changes was last year, and then they lost the next game and Pineda got fired. So you avoided that if you're Ronnie Dyla, and hopefully they can start a stretch where they can start climbing back in the table in the Eastern Conference. So we'll see what happens.
As long as they're listening to the reporters. I've seen the reporters tweeting, "Well, I said they need to do this the whole time, and now they're finally doing it and they're winning." It's kind of funny how that works. I've noticed that. So that's just – I guess it's just how the AJC reporters drew it up. It's good. They had 11 points coming into Sunday's match.
Right.
Now they have 17.
There you go.
In two matches, they've jumped. They've almost – they're over half of what their season total was coming into Sunday. I tell you that because they're still 16 points out of first. They have dug a huge hole. So it's good to see them finally picking up victories. And also, look, as Mike Conte put it, they had to father – Orlando.
They did.
As they did.
Them. So a lot of fun last night. We will get into wake-up call conversation. Coming up at 8 o'clock, I want to hear about memories at sporting events with your kids. Like when you took your son or daughter, either the first time or just a cool event that you were able to take them to that's one of your core memories or their core memories, if you will. That'll be coming up at 8 o'clock. Another thing we'll be talking about in the wake-up call, conference opponents from the Big Ten and the SEC. And why are we talking about that? Well, because Brian Kelly yesterday put it out there that SEC coaches – are in favor of adding one non-conference game against the Big Ten. Now, why is this a big deal? Because the Big Ten doesn't want to do this until the SEC goes to 9 conference games, which is the same conversation we had yesterday. Once you do go to 9 conference games and you lock everything else in, then the Big Ten, it looks like, and the SEC coaches are in favor of getting a cross-conference matchup. I love this idea. Bama's already been on board with this. They played Wisconsin last year, but it seems like something's gaining steam.
So why is the Big Ten waiting? Why did they want that 9th game?
Well, because I think when you break it down and you look at the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, it's like, why are they don't want to play 9 tough games against conference opponents and then add a 10th against an SEC opponent, and all of a sudden that's another opportunity for them to lose.
Gotcha.
And you're basically giving the SEC a leg up in terms of, hey, you might have one less loss in the SEC because you played one lesser opponent. And now you're looking at the College Football Playoff going, well, look, hey, we got one less loss because we didn't play anybody. You talked about a lot last year, Bo, about Florida's schedule. Florida seems to be ahead of its time in terms of having tough, like the hardest schedule in the history of college football last year for the Florida Gators. Bama this year starts with Florida State. I think that's going to be the Lee Corso send-off game. It's looking like.
It should be.
They
should
also be. Play Wisconsin, I believe, in late September, early October in Tuscaloosa. They played Wisconsin a year ago as well. So, obviously, Florida State's not an SEC team, but when you talk about that, it's not that big of a reach to say, okay, well, that's kind of what the schedule looks like. I brought this up to you a minute ago. I was like, who would you like to see Florida play if you were going to do a home-and-home with a Big Ten team? And you brought up Wisconsin. Like, that'd be a cool Camp Randall, destination for Florida fans.
I think it would. And I try to, like, you know what else I was thinking about? And I don't know, it's not going to be an easy game every year, but Penn State, Florida would be a pretty cool matchup if that was the one you played every year.
Yeah.
Because they're two teams with good tradition, some national titles in the mix, and it's kind of the polar opposites for each team because, you know, if you got to go play in Gainesville in September, if you're Penn State, you're not going to enjoy that. And if you're Florida, you got to go play in early November in Happy Valley, you're not going to like that either. I go back to thinking, but to me, it needs to be a rotating thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I always remember, and I remember, the reason I remember this is Mike Bell always talks about when he went to the Big House as a Florida State fan, and I remember watching this game as a kid on TV, and I remember Florida State when it was, I think it was 93 maybe, or 92, something like that. A good Florida State team goes up there, and they walked all over Michigan. And it was like, that's cool. Your little Florida State come play, real team. And that was when it was Big Ten had a lot of swagger back then as they regained.
Sure.
And it's like, it's so cool to think about seeing a Georgia or an Alabama or an LSU play in the Big House in Michigan, yep, or the Horseshoe and vice versa. Yeah. How cool is it to think about Ohio State playing in Athens?
I missed Bama played at Penn State in 2010. I missed it by 1 year. The year I left and I was with Atlanta, they went up to Penn State. They played a home and home at Penn State. Just real quick, I'm curious because you fit in this mold as a Florida fan. Georgia fans will fit in the same mold. You already have the rivalry game against the ACC opponent every year.
Yeah, we have two.
Does that
this
make
year,
you more hesitant years. To say, okay, the SEC goes to a 9-game schedule and you might play it? Because obviously Bama, they play in Auburn every. That's an SEC team.
Well,
that'd be part of their SEC schedule.
I don't know. To me, losing Florida State it's a non-start.
I think most non-starter. Georgia fans feel that way about Tech as well.
I don't know if all of them do. I don't, and I'm not sure if Tech does anymore.
Yeah, it hasn't been that competitive recently.
It's a non-starter for me because that is the game that is I grew up watching. The problem is when Florida has a year like they do this year. And now, and with Miami also in the schedule, and then you say, well, hey, by the way,
ding,
you got to go play Ohio State and Columbus.
Yeah.
And it's just, and then we're also adding another SEC game, and it's going to be Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Yeah. So at what point do you just say, well, hey, you're blank this year. Good luck.
Yeah. We'll take wake-up calls on that coming up at 8 o'clock. We also, like I said, I want to hear about your memories, being able to take your kid to a sporting event, or maybe you went with your parent. That is in the shadow of Father's Day that is coming up in just a couple of weeks. Shout out to Squid Billy on that one. Look, when we come back, we're going to talk about NBA playoffs, and we also got to do a mic'd up. Speaking of Georgia Tech, they got rings the other day. If you're a Georgia Tech fan and you're kind of hiding your face over the fact that y'all got rings, I got good news for you. The story I'm about to tell you about what happened in Tuscaloosa will make you feel pretty good about where that's sitting. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
7:42, it's Sports Radio 92.9 with the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and of course Dylan is here as well. We've got a mic'd up coming up in a moment, but as far as the NBA playoffs last night, Western Conference, Oklahoma City Thunder, they have punched their ticket to the NBA Finals. They beat Minnesota 124-94, and there was quite a father-son moment. SGA's son was in the crowd. That's going to be a core memory for his son. And that's to see your dad.
Yeah.
Incredible. That's what we want to talk about in the wake-up call today. What is your favorite memory with your kid at a sporting event or any event that you've gotten to take them to? We want to hear about those. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. And tonight, Pacers, Knicks in New York. We could get a series win tonight since Pacers lead it 3-1. We'll see you at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. It won't matter. It won't matter.
No?
You know what I mean? Because Oklahoma City just running away with this thing. Just beating on people. Look, I tabbed this, a couple weeks ago as a team I'd be pulling for throughout because I like how they've kind of grown things and created their own relentless attitude. And this is a team who obviously dealt with the trade of James Harden and the departure of Kevin Durant like 10 years ago. And they've done it again. They've repeated the three-peat, if you will, and I think they're going to get back to the top of the mountain. So
pretty bold of you going on a limb and pick a 68-win team.
I just said I was pulling for him. I didn't say that it was going to happen.
Into the playoffs,
just pulling for him. That's
you tabbed
all.
Him as, you know.
No, he pulled right. a rock. He goes, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Now with only them needing 4 wins left, he's like, oh, yeah, they're going to win it all.
I've been telling you guys this was a team.
He's
I mean,
so sour because Anthony Edwards got knocked off last night. He's so sour about it that it's ridiculous.
I tell you what, the only thing that sounds ridiculous is the bandwagon jumping you're doing right now.
That's crazy.
I mean, you sound like some other hosts on this radio station.
Because, you know.
Oh, they're good now. I'm going to pull for them.
Yeah, because the Oklahoma City Thunder are like the Lakers these days. So everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Get
I mean,
out of here with
that
they
mess. Won 68. Games
they're
this
Oklahoma
season,
City.
And you waited till the conference finals to say, oh, they're my team right now.
I was literally just about to say that. I was like, Bo makes a good point. Like, you waited till
the conference finals.
Yes,
I didn't say
you did.
His last round?
No.
I've been saying this since Allie got here.
Really?
Month.
I do think there has been a poll for the Thunder for quite some time on Mike's side.
Yeah, the conference finals literally lasted a month. So, I mean, that's probably where it's at, Allie. I hate to break it to you, but. You know, I mean, next Mike's going to be like, yeah, I bought season tickets, so, you know, I can say whatever I want.
Fly now to Oklahoma.
Sure. Which, you know, gives me a right to talk about everything that's going on with the team.
As long as you preface it. You can say whatever you want as long as you preface it with, well, I got season tickets, so I can say whatever I want.
I got a quarter season ticket package. No. I want to talk a little bit about the matchup last night, and Anthony Edwards said it, didn't he? Like, he was just like, dude, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't have any answers for you.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is.
He was like, our team didn't show up.
Well, I feel bad for him because, he goes out there and pours it all in there, and he's the kind of player you want on your team. Anthony Edwards is that dude, and look, they're not there yet as a core. And I think you take Anthony Edwards away from this team, they're probably a play-in team at best.
Ooh.
From the Timberwolves?
Yeah.
Dylan,
I agree.
Dylan.
I completely agree. Julius Randle has them okay, but they're probably going to be mid. They're like Bo said, I think they're a play-in team. Because there's not another offensive guy to get the ball to. I mean, you need that second option now or maybe even a third option in the NBA. And the Timberwolves right now just have two, and that's Julius Randle and Anthony Edwards.
Do you think the Wolves going into last night, since they were behind, kind of they're already talking to their family and friends, like, you know, we might be able to get out of town.
Are you talking about Cancun on three? Is she just Cancun on three?
Gone fishing inside
Cancun
the NBA
on three,
crew.
1, 2, 3, Cancun. I don't know. Like, you know, I think that probably does happen. I think it's hard not to. I think you have to have a different level of digging deep to not have that in the back of your mind.
Right.
I would say they have 15 players on the bench these days, right?
Yeah.
I'd say the 13th guy off the bench is like, yeah, man, I mean, I'm cool if we, you know, my money's.
Last year's Veet Krejci.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whoever that was.
He's like, I mean, dude, you know. The girl said if we get to go early, you know, she'd be cool with that. So
yeah, their version of Garrison Matthews, he's like, you know what? It's not that bad.
Yeah, he's like, hey, if we lose tonight, just pick me up at the arena. We'll go straight to the airport. We'll go hang out in the
Sky Club
for a
while.
Bags already packed.
Yeah, do you have a flight? Do you have plane tickets? Nah, man, we'll get one there.
You're guaranteed what $300,000 or $400,000. I'm sure you can buy plane tickets on the fly.
You're
right?
Taking the PJ, son, 100%. Just get one teammate. You're like, hey, we're taking the PJ.
I mean, you know, what's
it's the Odell Beckham boat picture from 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the only problem with that is that happened.
they were still in the playoffs.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean.
That was like a Monday.
All you got to do is tell your girl, just call me daddy.
Yeah. I'm not even going there.
What's up, Stefan? Enjoy that drug test.
Yeah. Whoa. Boy. Sheesh. Dylan, tonight's matchup, though, is this it? Is it a wrap?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's a wrap. Part of me wants, just because I feel like I've been deprived of a good conference finals, part of me wants to see the Knicks extend this and give me a little drama here in the conference finals, but if we're keeping it real, we're keeping it 100, it's over tonight.
All right, I'm going to go opposite.
Okay.
You know what I want?
What's
I want a good finals.
I was going to say, okay? That was my next question.
So what I want is I want the Pacers to go ahead and, you know, let these Knicks fans start their whining and crying and their, you know, their hatred for their team suddenly that is going to pop up as soon as they're eliminated to start immediately. That way, both, because the NBA Finals is a set date.
Yeah.
I don't know when it is.
June 5th is when it's scheduled to start.
I was literally about to say sometime in the first 5 to 6 days of June. Thank you, Dylan.
There you go.
Perfect. And so it's set already. So let both. I want both teams to have almost equal amount of rest. I don't want one team to set off for a week and the other team come off of 7 games. I don't want that. I want both teams to have rest, and what happens, happens. I think we maybe could get a better finals that way. That's what some people tend to believe, is that, you know, there's not enough rest. So, for these players. So
shout out Aaron Gordon.
Yeah. So that's the way I want it to play out. But well, and plus, I just want Knicks fans to suffer.
Speaking of rest, I mean, if you look forward at the schedule, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure like the day after Father's Day is like game 5, which is just insane. Like we're talking about, you know, that's already 2 weeks away.
You know what's funny?
And you're like, dude, what?
Dylan, correct me if I'm wrong, but game 6 or game 7 that year that the Warriors and Cavs played in it, where they went 7? Was literally Father's Day Sunday. I think it was Game 7. I think that was Father's Day Sunday. It
yeah,
might
you're
game
right.
Game 6. So they've already, since then, it's basically ending a week later, and that was only like 10 years ago.
Yeah, Game 5 is June 16th. If there's a Game 6, that's the 19th. Game 7, 22nd.
Well, shout out Mr. Halliburton. He'll be happy.
What day is the 22nd, Allie? Do you know? Is it a Sunday?
Let me see. Got to get a calendar, shift over to the next month. The 22nd's a Sunday.
Yeah. The draft is that Thursday, which will be like the 27th or the 26th.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild. They've already had their draft combine and everything. It's just so different of a schedule than the NFL keeps.
Yeah, all right. That is going to happen tonight. Obviously, we went over the wake-up call talking about fathers. I took my son last night at the United game. It was our first ever sporting event, just a father-son combo, and he had a good time. Did have to leave right after halftime, but again, he's 4. He's like, I'm tapping out. Like, just go ahead and take me home. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm ready for a little bedtime. And he knocked out on the way home, too. He was like, right.
He's a 30-year-old, 4-year-old.
Also, we are talking a little bit about the crossover possibly between the SEC and the Big Ten. Who do you want your squad to match up with, whether you're a Big Ten fan or an SEC fan? Bo brought it up earlier. Wisconsin's cool. Penn State's cool. Bo also said Purdue for Florida because he's like, you know, I'd like an easy dub. They're one of the worst teams in college football.
If you tell me I got to play one team every year, yeah, it's the Purdue or an Indiana who will come back down to Maryland, maybe a Rutgers. Although nobody wants to go to Jersey to play a football game.
Well, speaking of college football, I got a story for you about a ring ceremony that happened in my presence. Let's hit it mic'd up. It is mic'd up, and if you guys did not see this, I want to talk a little bit about the Georgia Tech rings that came out, and the pictures started being launched a couple of days ago. And was it? What bowl did they win for these rings? I can't even remember. It wasn't the Birmingham Bowl, was it?
The Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely the Birmingham Bowl.
And they launched a picture. And the first question under all these photos is like, what did they get a ring for? Oh, well, they won a bowl game, right? They won a bowl game, and they had a good year, and they're kind of signifying the turning of the program, if you will, right? It's like, hey, man, this team has kind of gotten to the next level, and want to make sure that we get a ring. Now, once upon a time, you would have said, look, it's a recruiting tactic, this, that, and the other. I don't know that any of that even matters anymore for a lot of these kids right now. Now, hopefully that changes at some point where it's like, I'm going to go somewhere where I can develop, win a title. Right now, it's like the agents being like, hey, here's where you're going, right? So it is what it is. Rewind, guys. I want you to rewind with me about 20 years ago. Right? I signed on to an Alabama program that was coming off of sanctions. Anybody remembers all the sanctions that happened with, you know, them being outed for a Memphis recruit? They had scholarships taken away. Phil Fulmer. Yes, it was a debacle.
Allie, he refused to show up to SEC Media Days in Hoover 1 year.
Yep.
Because he was going to be basically subpoenaed.
To come and testify in court in the state of Alabama, obviously, at Media Days, all the stuff going on. It was crazy,
yeah,
right?
But that never happened at Big Ten Media Days.
Right when all those sanctions were happening, you know, Bama got a bowl ban, they got scholarships taken away. That's when I signed. I was like, I'll play there. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. And not that I had a ton of offers out there, but it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, this is a program hopefully can bounce back. It's Alabama. I signed on. I signed at Alabama the first day I was in training camp at Alabama. Like, go through summer program. Very first day, Mike Shula is the head coach of training camp. They show up with rings. Now, they didn't win the Birmingham Bowl. As a matter of fact, they lost their bowl game. It was the Music City Bowl. And you remember this squad, Minnesota, with Lawrence Maroney and Marion Barber?
Oh, I do.
So,
I do. Both played in the NFL.
You know what's crazy? So, obviously, the game before Bama played then, they played who? They played Cadillac and Ronnie Brown. And then they played Lawrence Maroney and Marion Barber. Jeez. Back-to-back games. Crazy, right?
Hey, which duo was better than the NFL real quick? I'm going to say Barber and Maroney.
I'm going to say Cadillac and Ronnie Brown.
In the NFL?
Some good years down in Miami. Anyways, so they got rings, and I remember they didn't even want them. Like, a bunch of my teammates were getting rings. I was not there for the Music City Bowl, but they're getting rings. And, Dylan, I don't know if you got this cut pulled up, but a lot of them were quoting this from Friday Night Lights.
Hey, bring it home. Huh? Bring one of these home. Get you one of these. Christian. Get you one of these, boys. Right here.
Hey, get you one of these. Lose the Music City Bowl. Get you one of these.
That's from Friday Night Lights.
Get you one of these. Lose the Music City Bowl. Win state.
That's
Permian.
That's so funny because right after that, he hands him the baby, and he's like, right, you just keep her for a while.
You just keep her a while. But all my friends were sitting there. They got these Music City Bowl loss rings. Where they're like, dude, why did we just get rings?
Right.
This is so ridiculous. Now, back then, recruiting tactic, hey, we got rings. It's a turning of the tide, if you will. We're all pointing in the right direction now, but none of my friends wanted these rings at all. I would be shocked if any of them still even have these rings. They were like, dude, we got Music City Bowl loss rings.
To put a take real quick, when I saw these, when this was sent to you, somebody sent it to you and me,
yeah.
And I saw the tech one, I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And then I go, hold up. Because if this is a way to kind of that they're using this and that they've done some kind of research where this is a way to build confidence in the players and the program and kind of show we're on the rise, then I have no problem with it, especially at a school like Tech.
Yeah. I think it's cool. And like I said, if there's a lot of people out there hating on it, like, why did Tech get rings? I promise you, there's been worse. And it happened in Tuscaloosa with the turning of the tide. The Music City. Hey, get you one of these.
Sounds like a 30 for 30.
Lose the Music City Bowl.
What if I told you? It started with losing rings.
Yeah, the turning of
the
tide.
But it was nothing but a turning of the tide.
Get you one of these.
This is what it's about right here.
Lose the Music City Bowl. Anyways, man, we got to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to do a wake-up call, 404-726-0929. I want to hear about a memory with your kid at a sporting event. What is one that you remember either going to with your dad or one that you were able to take your kid to that you'll never forget that always sticks out as a core memory in either one of your lives. Also, crossover opponents, Big Ten, SEC. Who do you want your squad to face off with and why? Maybe there's a house divided going on with some of you guys out there. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.